Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, oh glory, paint the breeze.
Proclaimed in 1952 during the Dwight Eisenhower administration. It used to be Constitution Day. Of course, most of our politicians and media people don't know what that is. Now, some interesting birthdays today. We have a guy, a Roman Catholic cardinal, since the Catholic Church is in the news again today, a guy named Mezzi Fortuti. He understood 70 languages. I guess he was the precursor of Rosetta Stone. And then today, also, the second vice president to die in office was Thomas Hendricks. He ran with Samuel Tilden in a disputed, 1870 election, which Rutherford Hayes won and was later assassinated. And the deal was that Tilden was thrown into the House of Representatives, but Hayes' people, the Republicans, made a deal with the South to pull the Union troops out. And I think the House of Representatives voted proclaim Hayes president. The first president, vice president, excuse me, to die in office, very interesting because of the homosexual politics that are the crotch politics that's going on in this country. There's a guy named Rufus Duvain King, and he had tuberculosis, and he was the first and only vice president to be sworn in not on foreign soil. He was not sworn in at the Capitol. He went to Cuba for his health, and he died about 30 days later. Shortest vice president to serve in office. Actually, I don't know if you could say served in office because he was dying of tuberculosis, and he was also one of the biggest slave owners in the South. And it was said about him, Andrew Jackson, who had an extremely sharp or rapier tongue, that the Duvain King, Rufus Duvain King, was the lover of James Buchanan, whose fiance died very young, and Buchanan was accused of being the first homosexual president. There is no actual proof of this, although the correspondence between Buchanan and Rufus Duvain King was burned by their relatives. But Andrew Jackson described the pair as Miss Nancy and Miss Fancy, Uncle Nancy, or Aunt Nancy and Miss Fancy. They shared a hotel room together because in those days, there wasn't accommodations for the vice president as there is today. But that's very controversial. Also today is von Steuben Day. Baron von Steuben was a Prussian who well-trained in military arts and he was forced, reportedly forced out of the Prussian army because he was a rampant homosexual. He came over here, and regardless of his sexual preference, he behaved himself, as far as we know, but he trained the Continental Army so it became proficient in the field to defeat the greatest army of the time, the British Army. So it's Baron von Steubenday, and we should honor him for that, for coming over here. Now, he did have a young aide with him, and we don't know what the relationship was, and Washington certainly doesn't mention it. At least we don't, haven't seen anything in his writings or anybody else, Thomas Addison, Jefferson or Adams, none of those people. So, it is a fact that there have been some of the great military people in history, Julius Caesar, whom it was said he was a husband to his wife and a wife to his men. Alexander the Great had a great love affair with one of his generals, and it could be said he was bisexual. There were claims about Napoleon, but they're not. There's no foundation, as far as I know, as a historian. Of course, there have been the scandals, which we'll get into on another day, mostly involving espionage and treason and treachery, like Colonel Radel of the Austrian Army. But, so onward. And today is also the birthday of Hank Williams, your cheating heart. I guess there are a lot of gays who learn the hard way, and that's their theme song when they get dumped. And then we have Roddy McDowall, who was gay, and he was a child actor who came over here, I think, during the war. And he died recently. And then Anne Bancroft, talk about sexuality, who became famous or infamous in the film Mrs. Robinson. She played that role. I keep forgetting his name. And then today is the birthday of Senator Charles Grassley and Ken Kesey, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and people are beginning to think with some of these programs that are coming out of Congress, they got to be cuckoo back there. And some of these candidates, I don't know what to tell you. And then we have David Souter, who was the only justice of the U.S. Supreme Court appointed by George Bush the First, and it was said that he was gay. And, of course, it did come up in the legal papers, which are pretty reliable on a lot of things. So we'll leave that at. And among the deaths today, there are two assassinations. Interesting. We have Count Bernadotte, who was a Swede, who went in 1948 to try to broker peace between the the Jews, who weren't Israelis because Israel wasn't a state, and the Arabs, or so-called Palestinians. And now Bernadotte, that's a French name. He was a descendant of General Jean Bernadotte, who was a Marshal of France during the Napoleonic Wars, and he turned against Napoleon because he saw Napoleon as a dictator. And the King of Sweden, the Royal House of Sweden, they were Lutheran, they had no male heir, so they invited him to become the King of Sweden. And there's a famous movie called Desiree with Gene Simmons, Michael Rennie, Marlon Brando, great film, and it's very accurate on this point. And so Bernadotte went up there, Jean Bernadotte, and he became King of Sweden, adopted the Lutheran faith, and then he put on the uniform and went back into the field and to fight against his old boss, Napoleon. And so you see the movie Desiree. It's pretty accurate. It's a 1950s color film, very beautifully done with Gene Simmons and Michael Rennie. Let's see, who else? And then the first man to die in flight was a lieutenant in the Army. He was only 26 years old, a guy named Thomas Selfridge. He died in 1908, plane crashed, and he wasn't wearing proper headgear. That's what contributed to his death. He died. He never regained consciousness. And because of his death, the Army Air Corps, as it was called, because the Air Force was, there was no separate Air Force, adopted headgear to protect the pilots. So he's buried in Arlington National Cemetery. And let's see, who else is born today? Oh, yes, interesting events. This is going to be a short show because I had another medical appointment. We're going to have a longer show Tuesday. It's a special show because of historical events, and I've been putting it together. So it'll be an hour Tuesday, unless there's an earthquake or something. But anyway, here are the events that happened today. In 1394, there's always been this anti-Semitism in France. The king of France expelled the Jews. And let's see, on this day in 1630, Boston was founded. In 1776, the Presidio of San Francisco was set up. And then in 1863, Sharpsville was a battle, and that was the bloodiest day in the entire American Civil War. And then 1908, we mentioned Lieutenant Selfridge died. Then 1934, for those of us who love music, the first 33 and the third record was produced, and the music was Beethoven's Fifth. I think I know who did that. If we can find the recording in the archives, I'll play it or play part of it. Then in 1947, the first first man to be Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal. In fact, there's an aircraft carrier named after him. He was also probably the first cabinet official to jump out of the window and commit suicide. We don't know why he did that. He was a New York lawyer, I believe, and a Roman Catholic. And to this day, it's a mystery. Was he pushed or did he jump out of the window at Bethesda Naval Hospital? I think that's where he died. And then, of course, today is I Am an American Day, Citizenship Day, 1952. And then Baron von Steuben. Oh, and in 1787, this is important, that part of when the Constitution was put together, there is a clause that there is not to be religious affiliation, or religious whatever, is not to be used, it can't be used as a requirement for public office or public trust. So, in other words, that's what we try to keep church and state separate. And, of course, with all these bogus nonprofits by all the churches, whether it's Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, the only separation of church and state, it seems, is on April 15th. Now, we've heard that about 20 state attorney generals have joined Bill McCollum, the state attorney general and losing candidate for governor, in Florida, in fighting Obamacare. Now, the federal judge in this case, a very interesting man. His name is Roger Vinson. He is from Kentucky, which had the first Vinson. Frederick Vinson was the U.S. Chief Justice. He didn't last that long, about 8-9 years, and he died just before President Eisenhower became president. And Fred Vinson was the only man to serve in all three branches of government besides in the military in World War One in the Army. And it's a famous political family in Kentucky. Now, I don't know if Roger Vinson he's from Kentucky, born in Cadiz, Kentucky. I don't know if he's, but the name's unusual. It's also the name of a big Washington law firm, Vinson and I think Elkert. But anyway, he served in Vietnam. He's a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy. He's had some interesting cases that deal with medicine, the abortion clinics, and I didn't have a chance to do an entire biographical search. However, what makes this guy unusual is that they're the only recent federal corruption case involving a federal judge who was convicted, a guy named Kirk, in the federal district court in Texas, sexually harassed or sexually molested courtroom personnel. This also happened in San Francisco in the Steve Nehra case, and we'll get into that another day, because that's like Banco's ghost. It's not going to go away. Anyway, this judge lied, and it was discovered, and he was tried and impeached. And Judge Roger Vinson presided over his trial. They brought him in from out of state because there were conflicts of interest. And this guy got he was handed a 33-month sentence in federal prison. There've been very few impeachments and prosecutions of federal judges. The last one was Walter Nixon, not related to the Nixon, President Nixon, I don't believe, a Nevada case, and he was impeached. And there's been controversy about a lot of federal judges, with very few trials and convictions. We'll see where this goes. Now, getting back to Chief Justice Frederick Vinson, when he was on the federal courts before he became Chief Justice, he handled one of the first, case involved marijuana, and I'll get into that probably Tuesday. I didn't have time to get into all of it. Now, coming up, we're going to have George Christopher, who was California's probably greatest modern mayor. He immigrated as a child from Greece. He immigrated legally. He was an accountant. He worked his way up. In fact, he went to one of my alma maters, university, and he studied accounting at night. He started Christopher Dairies and gave free milk to the kids. He became a supervisor or councilman or alderman, depending on where you live in the country. It's the same title, and later ran successfully for mayor of San Francisco. Horace Stoneham, who owned the New York Giants, was considering leaving New York, and L.A. wanted it for Chavez Ravine. I think that's the park down there. Anyway, George Christopher beat him to it. He even set up the Candlestick Park, which is the stadium where the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, played. But also, Christopher served as a special envoy, diplomatic, and ambassador for President Eisenhower. And when Premier Khrushchev came here in 1959, and he went to the UN and he banged his shoe on the table, did some boorish things, went to Iowa, was insulted, and he went to L.A., and he was denied access to visit Disneyland. So George Christopher told Eisenhower, he said, send him up to San Francisco, we'll give him a good time. And we will play, we have the video from that. George Christopher gave it to me before he died. And he saved relations between the United States and Russia because we had the Cold War going on at that time. 6 months later, unfortunately, because the intelligence people weren't talking to the White House, we had the infamous or ill-fated U-2 flight with Francis Gary Power, where we didn't believe that the Russians had missiles to shoot down our spy planes, which could fly about 50 to 60,000 feet. And Francis Gary Power was shot out of the sky. And there was to be a meeting in Vienna between Khrushchev and Eisenhower, a summit, and that was scrapped because of the controversy over the U-2 flight and the shooting down of Francis Gary Powers. And San Francisco lawyer Vincent Hallinan, who was the father of this corrupt DA, Terrence Hallinan, he was the American Communist Party's candidate for president in 1952. He ran from federal prison. He was in Terminal Island on some federal prosecution. And he was also the father, the lawyer for the International Longshoremen's Union, a communist-controlled union with Harry Bridges. But he was invited by the Russians to come to Moscow and try to persuade Francis Gary Powers, whom they put on trial as a spy, try to persuade him to ask forgiveness from Mother Russia. So much for lawyers and treason. But George Christopher was one of the great mayors. He ran for governor of California in the Republican primary. He was defeated in the primary by Ronald Reagan, and the rest is history on that. So we'll get into that next week because that'll be the 51st anniversary of Khrushchev's successful visit to San Francisco and to California. And I keep telling people, and it's very troubling, that we hear Morris and several other people think there's going to be a Republican sweep in the fall. But they seem to forget that the radical left, or if they ever knew this or just choose to ignore it, has gotten into power through vote fraud. And we've documented this. We even have the documents, which nobody else has, to my knowledge. And we publicize this on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMI C-U-S-V-E-R-I-T-A-S. But we got to go back to Joseph Stalin, who knew how to get things done in the worst possible way and doing the worst possible things to people, even people he had no reason to distrust, but because he was such a paranoid. But he made a statement, several statements, on vote fraud and elections, and the most important one, I think, is it's not who votes, it's who does the counting. And we have seen vote fraud here, and I've seen vote fraud in Cook County, I've seen it in California, and one of the most recent vote frauds that turned out to be a fiasco for the perpetrators was boxes of paper ballots were supposed to be transported by the San Francisco sheriff from the outlying polling stations, and they never got there. They ended up, someone found them floating in San Francisco Bay. Apparently the people handling the boxes of paper ballots didn't put enough rocks in them to sink them to the bottom of the bay. So they were seen floating around in all these ballots. So that's just one incompetent handling of vote fraud. But we've seen other vote fraud, and I keep telling people that what happened here was ACORN and some of these other bogus community organizations perpetrated during the Gore-Bush election campaign, absentee ballot vote fraud. Absentee ballot. They would come in, register to vote using a phony address where they never lived and never lived after that, and demanded a ballot, absentee ballot, and were given one to vote. Then it disappeared. And so they came up from L.A., some of these people. We tracked them on their campaign contributions on what was called the Macarena Express. And they voted down there, registered to vote absentee down there, voted absentee down there, and then came up to Northern California and did the same thing, and then vanished. So, these people are very skilled at this. The Saul Alinsky people have done this in Cook County. We've seen it there. And by the way, a new book has come out. I didn't know Nicholas Van Hoffman, who's a lefty, worked for Saul Alinsky. He was on C-SPAN talking about his book that he's written about Alinsky. And the timing's very interesting because Mr. O, who uses, was seen as a community organizer and supposedly learned the tactics of Alinsky, although Alinsky was dead before Obama was even in college. Alinsky died in Carmel, California. It's on the Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and he was also here in San Francisco setting up all these bogus community organizations out of 82 Second Street. We'll put that address up. Very interesting, all these lefty organizations who are bogus nonprofits which have co-opted real community organizations. So that's what's going on, and I strongly suspect that some people are waking up that the Democrats and the Pelosi crowd and are not going to give up power easily. And it wouldn't surprise me that they not only try to hang on to what they have already, they will try to get more to reinforce their control over the political process. So ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and it will. So wake up, folks. Now, next week, we're going to have the special on George Christopher and then some other things we've been working on, the vote fraud. We'll show you how they did it. Also, more on the so-called affordable housing. There are people, Americans, who have been good citizens, paid their taxes, even served in the military when they were called up, drafted, whatever, did their, communities, served their communities, made charitable contributions, but have lost their jobs or have been furloughed or have had their jobs cut, the hours cut back. Some of them are sleeping in their cars and sleeping on the streets. But the people who got control of these HUD-funded affordable housing developments and organizations have defied federal law and have given this housing to illegal aliens. In fact, one group connected to Juan Pifre, the financial analyst and sexual predator at night, a real Jekyll and Hyde character, have said, we will house Latino people regardless of their immigration status, which is an open defiance of what I call part of the age of arrogance, excuse me, which we've seen with these people. And illegal aliens are getting housing that should go to Americans. In fact, there have been bribes paid up to $500 to get in on HUD-subsidized housing. In one case, here in San Francisco, which we will show, excuse me, I got it into my throat, a documentation on. So, you know, you've got to wake up because our country is being hijacked right before our eyes and by people like Soros and that crowd who ought to be deported and some of these other people. You know, they have not come here to contribute, but rather they have co-opted and corrupted and will continue to do so unless we stop them. So, you know, it's still our country. Let's keep it that way. Let's, you know, respect the people who come here to contribute, not who come here to corrupt. It's these radical leftists, you know, they don't create and conserve. What they do is co-opt and consume. So it's time for us to say enough. You know, we don't have this kind of time. The money is not there. We're all getting older. We want to leave something to our children, leave them a legacy that, hey, we left this country in a better shape than we found it. So if we're decent people, don't want to leave it in a worse shape than when we inherited it from our parents and grandparents. So we're going to end now, excuse me, with the appropriate thing. I've got the bloody itch in my throat. Excuse me. Here we go, which emphasizes what I've been talking about.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, see the game is rough. Decisions like
who to
pick, how to play,
how to bet,
what to call
a bluff. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Venom.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot and see me go.
deck can be stacked. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Tune in Tuesday. Thank you for listening.